Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
For you, I guess you moved on really easily. You found a new girl and it only took a couple weeks. Remember when you said that you wanted to give me the world?
Good morning, 7:09 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Have you watched the video of the red light running that the city of Pensacola put out?
I have not.
They put out a top 10 yesterday, and we've got it shared on our Facebook page. You can watch it for yourself. Because the thing that DC is always talking about is how people believe that all of these infractions are, you know, somebody stopped, they're 1 foot over the white line and they got issued a ticket. No, you know, and, but I will tell you this, do you drive in the Pensacola region? Do you drive in Santa Rosa and Escambia County? I don't drive a lot during rush hour, you know, but. So I actually probably see far less of it than you do, but I see somebody run a red light, I don't know, once a week, at least every other week. And I mean, I'm not talking about a little bit, you know, like they went through when it was, you know, orange, you know, it was red, not quite yellow right anymore. This is full blown. I mean, like, I wish I had a dash cam video rolling to show it. Because I see things happen all the time, and I think, oh, my God. Are you seriously? So, yeah, the city of Pensacola put out the video, and I'm gonna talk you through some of these incidents because they are amazing. There's one here. This is at 9th and Bayou, the most dangerous intersection, 34% of all the infractions. There's about 100 a day tickets that get issued. So about 30 to 35 times a day this happens. And in this case, you've got a minivan. That there's already a car stopped at the red light in front of them. And there's a yellow van that's going, or a white van that's going in the left over lane that's going through the red light. And this black minivan comes up behind the stopped car, swerves into the other lane, and follows the white minivan through the red light at 9th and Bayou. Just works right around them and goes through and then goes back into that right-hand lane. And I know that the person in that, I think it's a Honda Civic, I'm looking at it, and like, they were thinking, what in the hell just happened to me?
Right, exactly. You
know? And that one's bad. Then we've got one where it's, this looks like, I can't quite tell, ninth. Maybe this is Fairfield and 9th. And you've got a car turning left, okay? And this little white car is just going to go right through the intersection because it's a red light and the other two lanes, both two turn lanes, have green arrows coming. And you see two cars have to stop in order to avoid it. This one's amazing. This is another one at, this looks like 9th and, no, this is Airport. I think this is 9th and Airport. You've got the two turn lanes are stopped. The right lane is stopped. So there's like 10 cars already stopped. And this person is going right through the open lane as the oncoming traffic is turning left. Two lanes of turning traffic in front of them. And they have to work around and through the other cars that are coming. I mean, I don't know about you. I see this stuff all the time. This is not rare. Oh, the funniest one, it's horrible, but at 9th and Gregory, the on-ramp to 110, you ever seen this pink bus driving around town, the pink school bus?
Yes.
Oh, he goes right through this red light.
Why?
Right through it, crossing in between cars. And there's a pedestrian that comes walking up a second later. You know, thank God happened there. Oh, okay, so there you have a red light runner. You see the flash. This is at night. I'm not sure which one. This is 9th and Fairfield, maybe. And he goes right around another car that's crossing to his right, making a left turn. I mean, it's just like, how did that not become an accident? Another one at 9th and Gregory. This guy's in the rightmost lane. You know, it's five lanes, right? It's the right turn, three lanes forward, and left turn. He's in the rightmost lane. The light turns red, and he still manages to go through and make a left turn. So he crosses four lanes of traffic.
Wow.
To turn left on a red. By the way, this is one of the things that I told my sons. I'm always teaching my sons how to drive. And a couple of basic rules. Number one, avoid the accident. I don't care who's right, avoid the accident. Avoid killing people, avoid getting hurt, right? That's number one rule above everything else. It doesn't matter who's right, it matters that people got hit. That's much more significant. And, you know, that's one of my rules that I teach. My other thing that I always teach them is I say, most of the problems come because people panic. Either they're distracted or they panic. And people make mistakes because they panic, they missed a turn, and they suddenly try to correct it across three lanes of traffic. And I always tell them, I said, just keep going. You can fix it later. Everything can be fixed later.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you miss your turn going west on I-10 and you don't get off on 9 Mile, then, well, you're going to be in Alabama for a while.
Yes. Yeah.
But still, you can fix it later. What you can't fix later is a collision. And no collision is worth the 30 seconds or minute or 2 minutes of correction that it takes you. You know what I was thinking as I was watching this? I'm like, well, there's no accidents. There's no collisions happening. So, you know, how bad can it really be? Well, then they got to the ones where there's collisions. There's another one where at Airport and 9th again, you know, you have two turn lanes. This is somebody going through one of the straight lanes, turning left from the straight lane across two lanes of traffic after the light is red. Oh, it must be time for me to go. Must be my turn. It's not your turn.
No, it's not.
I don't even know. It's so crazy to watch. You had one at 9th and Gregory where that truck ran into that car because they had the right of way and he just didn't stop for the light. That's a collision. Is this the bad one? Oh, yeah, this is the bad one. This is at 9th and Gregory again. This is a car is going north. A white van, I think, is going north on 9th, a silver van. And there's a silver pickup truck going west on Gregory towards the interstate. And he blows right through. It's actually the van is going against the light. The truck is not doing wrong, but they collide bad. It's really violent. And the only reason I share that with you is because, number one, this is the evidence. And I know that's not all 5,000, obviously. That's the 10 whatever most egregious ones. But it's the evidence that we all see all the time. You've seen this. You may not have seen a wreck. But, John, how many times a week if per month, how many times do you see red light runners?
A lot more than I want to.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, it scares me.
Now, I do think there are legitimate questions. We talked about this before. There's legitimate questions about whether having the red light cameras and issuing the citations changes behavior. Because that's what we want. We want to change behavior. We don't just want to issue citations. One person says, Andrew, none of this will ever change until we actually have police officers pulling you over, punishing you on the spot, because a flashy light and a ticket in the mail 2 weeks later isn't going to teach you a lesson.
But a fine teaches me a lesson, buddy.
I mean, there are a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
And I sympathize with that. And I know, but it takes time. Why don't people speed and go through the red lights in Gulf Breeze? Because they developed a reputation. You know, enforcement. What's the other answer? So should we have more of these? Should we put more patrols out to do it? But I will tell you, it is terrifying. And I think about this all the time with my kids. You know, I'm telling, everybody's an idiot. Everybody's out to kill you. That's how you've got to drive. And boy, if that's not true in Pensacola, I don't know where it is true. Just, you know, and everywhere has their degree of bad drivers. I don't think necessarily Pensacola is uniquely bad, but boy, we got to, and this is the thing you don't want to think about is the people who've had their license suspended and the uninsured drivers.
Oh, yes.
And when I had our wreck, that was a minor thing where they were uninsured, both of them, backed into me at a stoplight. I mean, it was, what?
Right.
And didn't have active insurance, didn't have active licenses, and FHP officer, they left before you got there. I can't make them stay. And the officer's like, yeah, it's like 30% of the drivers.
That much?
What? Are you kidding me? All the time.
Wow.
717 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
Well, Frontier Motors is our traffic sponsor right now. The only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still dealing with some traffic backup on Avalon Boulevard going southbound toward Sienemid Road due to an earlier accident. The right lane is still blocked. Left lane is going very slowly, so you definitely want to plan around that one. But other than that, not seeing anything else. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. We do have a pretty significant thunderstorm system headed our way. We're just on the we're actually in the middle of it, but it kind of bypassed us to the north. It stretches all the way over past Jacksonville into the Atlantic. But we're right in the middle of it, and we're in a gap right now, so it's mostly dry in our area. But I'm telling you, when it starts to rain, it's probably not going to stop for several, gosh, hours, wouldn't you say, John, based on the radar?
Yeah, based on the radar, it's moving very slowly, but it's...
East by southeast. It's just going to kind of traipse over us for the next couple of hours. And like I said, at the back half of it, that's currently over Mississippi and Louisiana, so that's got a little time to get here.
Yeah,
but that's
just west of Hattiesburg.
Yeah, very significant thunderstorm there. If we're lucky, that portion may pass us to the south a little bit. I'm not quite sure how it's going to turn out. But anyway, just be aware. You know, it's kind of going to be one of those days, maybe not getting your suntan in today. If you have a company, you have employees, you got to deal with employee benefits, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, manage HR, you know, manage payroll, whatever the case may be. Torgerson Consulting can help you with that. Now, if everything's great, then don't call them. But, I mean, honestly, you might not know that it could be even better. You know, they could save you money, give your employees better choices. That's what they did for us. You know, we had an HR management organization before. Torgerson comes in and we get better plans, better prices, and better customer service. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that was possible. But you guys are great. And they have been for about 4.5 years. We've been working with them here at News Radio in Cat Country. 433-9996. No obligation to have them look over what you're doing. The website, tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
The most famous verse in all the Bible is famous for several reasons. It's famous because it's rich with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's famous because it models godly giving in an amazingly sacrificial way. It's famous because it explains the way to heaven as well as the avoidance of eternal hell. Have you figured out which verse I'm talking about? If you thought John 3:16, then you're right. It powerfully states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you have never confessed your sin and called on Christ to save you, I urge you to trust Christ today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, it's Bess Marks with Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor. I want to read a little letter that I got from a wonderful friend, and she said, "Oh my gosh, wow, Bess, you and the Lazy Boy design team, you nailed it. We love it. We just can't believe it's ours." And that's what we call a standing ovation for our design team. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Mobile, Pensacola, and Spanish Fort. Just like a picture out of a magazine.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Seminole fans, your chance to win tickets to Florida State University home games is coming soon. Right here on News Radio 92.3.
Ocean Man, take me by the hand, lead me to the land that you understand. Ocean Man, the voyage to the corner of the globe is a real trip.
Good morning, 722 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Happy Friday. Overcast, rainy, thunderstorms coming. So just be aware of that. Joining us by phone, we have the deputy water safety chief for Pensacola Beach in Escambia County, Alex Johnson, more colloquially known as AJ. Nobody calls him Alex that I know of. Maybe his mom calls him Alex. I don't know. AJ, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Good morning. Good morning.
Does your mom call you Alex?
Absolutely, yes, she does. My family calls me Alex, and everyone else calls me AJ.
I knew it. My moms always have it. They always have the, "Hey, I gave you that name. I'm going to call it. If mama call him Clay, I'm going to call him Clay." All right, so what do we got going on for beach conditions this weekend, AJ?
Yeah, well, it's Labor Day weekend, so, you know, this is kind of the last big hurrah of the beach season, you know, for lifeguard agencies around the country. You know, people still drive in from all over the country to go to all the beaches, so We do expect some increased crowds. However, of course, the weather is not looking as good as I'm sure some people were hoping. We got about a 50% chance of rain and thunderstorms each day over the next couple of days. But on the bright side, we do expect calm surf over the next couple of days. So there's a silver lining.
And rain is fine, especially with green flags or calm surf, just as long as when it starts to thunder, and that's when you got to be out of the water, right?
Right. The classic quote, right? Thunder roars, go indoors, and not just out of the water, but off the sand. I've been out here, and I've seen lightning strike the sand. I've seen it strike the water. It's you know, when thunder roars, go indoors, go inside a building, go to one of our awesome beach restaurants out here and get a fish sandwich. But yeah, stay out of the water and off the beach.
You mean that when it's lightning that I shouldn't just take shelter underneath my metal frame tent on the beach? That's not the ideal solution to that problem?
Not ideal. Right. But, you know, it is a common misunderstanding. A lot of people will go underneath the pavilion or the stage or something like that. But lightning can strike at an angle. So we definitely encourage everyone to go inside a building or structure, or a vehicle.
I did see, I may be mistaken, but I thought I saw yesterday Navarre Beach was reporting lots of active jellyfish. They had a purple flag flying. Have we seen any of that at Pensacola Beach?
Not yesterday. Okay. This is the time of year in August where it's really off and on. They roll in with the south wind, blow back out with the north wind. But I was in the water yesterday, and there was not a single jellyfish in our near shore area here.
Very good. And last question for you, AJ, since next week we'll be back to Dave Greenwood. I want to – by the way, you are also at Johnson Beach this weekend. Is that right? No, where are you at this weekend besides at the Pensacola Beach?
Yeah, of course. So this is the final weekend of our contract with Gulf Islands National Seashore for 2025. So we're at Johnson's and Langdon and Opal, through this Monday through Labor Day. But after that, then we won't be back there until next May.
Very good. And I know we'll be catching up with you guys come up in the fall when you guys start having your tryouts like at UWF and all of that. But one last thing I did want to check with you, because we'll be talking to Dave. Well, actually, maybe we won't be talking to Dave next week because we're done with the season. I just don't remember how that works.
I think he talks with you through the end of our lifeguard season, which has been
that's
October.
Every year I forget, and every year y'all have to remind me. So I appreciate that. But last quick thing, and I want you to be as candid as you can, okay? You ready, AJ?
I'm ready.
Who's the stronger swimmer, you or Dave?
Now, define speed or distance?
Yes.
Well, I've got 30 years of youth advantage there, but he's got way more practice, so I don't know if I'd want to take him on.
So maybe in a sprint, maybe in the 100 meter, but not in the mile.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, fair enough. Alex Johnson, AJ, everybody knows him by. He is the deputy water safety chief on Pensacola Beach for Escambia County. AJ, hey, thanks for the great update. Thanks for everything you do to work with our lifeguards and keep our beaches safe for all of us and our visitors. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Andy. We appreciate you.
Andy, nice.
Nice. Nice.
Extra credit for you. Goodbye. 7:26 on News Radio 92.3.
Goodbye.
Johnny Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're still dealing with some delays on Avalon Boulevard going southbound before you get to Cyanamid Road. There was an earlier accident, and the right-hand lane is still blocked, but the left lane is open, and its traffic is moving slowly on that. It's starting to back up really back to, let's see here, this computer will start working. All right, Fairlands Road, Kingery Road, and it's almost back to Avalon up there. So just be aware of that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Is that the left-hand land that you were talking about?
Yes, it was.
Nice. All right. Going to the newsroom now, 727 News Radio 92.3. We've got weird sound quality. We've got Dave Wayne with our news headlines. Dave?
Yeah, I got some headlines for you right here, Andy. President Trump revoking Secret Service protection for former Vice President Kamala Harris. This was first reported by CNN. The move is set to become effective as of Monday, September 1st. Former vice presidents are automatically granted 6 months of protection after leaving office. Harris's detail was set to be eliminated last month. She had hers extended by former President Biden. Today is the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Hundreds gathered last night for an interfaith prayer service at St. Louis Cathedral in Louisiana, where Katrina made landfall this day in 2005. More than $125 billion in damage, nearly 1,600 people killed in the New Orleans area. There were two really good documentaries that came out on streaming, one on Netflix, and I think there was another one on maybe on Disney Plus or something on that. Really interesting if you're interested in the history of that here.
Very good.
And Labor Day gas prices for the weekend expected to be the lowest since 2020. An analysis from Gas Buddy says the projected cost of fuel nationwide for the weekend, $3.15 per gallon, making it the cheapest summer for gas prices since the pandemic.
Yeah, here locally, I was seeing it all over the place for like $2.65, $2.60, that vicinity, which is, you know, hey, I mean, it's not the 78 cents that I still think in my head gas should be for when I learned how to, you know, drive.
78 cents, man, wow.
1995, baby, that's not when I learned how to drive, but that's where my price barometer is set. I can remember living in Alton, Illinois, and driving past the QT and looking at 77 cents.
A few years after that, when I got my license, it was...
Why do you have to say that?
It was 99 cents when I first got my license. I'm the same way. I still think in my head, why isn't it 99 cents?
I know. Yeah. You know, ground beef should be $1 a pound, and a 24-pack of Coke should be $4. I don't know why anything is...
Oh, my goodness.
Why, Biden? Why? It's a joke, okay? It's everybody's problem. David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are a couple of years old with 10 or maybe 30,000 miles, gently used. That's the way I like to think of them. Cars that are going to be in good shape, they warranty it to 10 years or 100,000 miles. And when you go there with all the different selection that they have, you can try as many as you like. You know, you can even try different of the same one because they've got multiple of the same kind of thing. But if you're looking at vans, lots of vans. If you're looking at trucks, lots of trucks. Looking at sedans, lots of sedans. And try something that's a little outside of your norm. You might discover, you know what, I don't need a Jeep. Or you might discover, oh man, I really need a Charger. And that's fine. That's why you go to look around, see what you like. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Frontier Motors right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Alex Andrade is up next.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. Fox has learned the mother of the Annunciation Church mass shooter, Mary Grace Westman, has retained a criminal defense lawyer who says she is not culpable but is distraught about the shooting. Her son's manifesto said he was obsessed with shooting children. Jesse Merkel is the father of 8-year-old Fletcher, one of two children killed.
Because of their actions, we will never be allowed to hold him, talk to him, play with him, and watch him grow into the wonderful young man he was on the path to becoming.
Many of the 18 survivors improving. CDC has a new acting director after a dispute over vaccine directives led to the ouster of the director. The former deputy secretary of HHS, Jim O'Neill, is pro-vaccine but not federal mandates. For your Labor Day, AAA national gas price, $3.20 a gallon. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It's cloudy, 70. Could be a rainy day today and possibly tomorrow as well. We'll get more on our forecast in a couple of minutes. The city of Pensacola celebrating Councilmember Charles Baer for earning the Gold Certificate of Excellence from the Florida League of Cities training program for elected officials. And that program recognizes leaders that are dedicated to education. They've got three levels of certification. Baer completed that program here over the past year. Well, Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer giving an update on Operation Summer Hurricane, that program aimed at taking child predators off the streets.
Eight individuals being arrested, six are already in custody. And one of these individuals, I will point out, is an illegal alien that should not even be in the country.
Uthmeyer says it's an ongoing problem with illegal immigrants being picked up each time they conduct a sting. He's recommending closely monitoring your children's online activities. A hotel was evacuated yesterday due to a fire. Now, that was just before noon. Escambia County Fire Rescue called out to the courtyard by Marriott on West 9 Mile near I-10. Smoke was reported in a room on the fifth floor, and firefighters say they discovered a cord that was pinched under a microwave. That's what caught fire. Thankfully, nobody was hurt, and the fire was quickly extinguished. A couple of accidents yesterday. 22-year-old man dead after a single vehicle crash on Beulah Road. FHP says the driver ran off the side of the road to the left shoulder. And this was Beulah Road near Helms. The vehicle then hit some trees. The driver was extricated, taken to Sacred Heart, and later died. Also in Santa Rosa County, a 42-year-old man injured in a scooter crash yesterday. This happened on Dogwood Drive, and officials say the rider hit a curb. The scooter flew about 70 feet before it landed. The rider was found unconscious next to that scooter. He was airlifted to Sacred Heart Hospital with serious injuries. Florida's Great Northwest got the green light from Triumph Gulf Coast for their new initiative, United Forward, that aims to boost the region's economy with a $4.77 million grant. The plan will revamp the local economic strategy, launch a marketing campaign to attract new businesses. Jennifer Connolly, who's the president and CEO of Florida Great Northwest, says the initiative would be a major step towards creating a stronger and more resilient economy. A total investment of about $6.6 million. United Forward is expected to open up some new job opportunities and support existing businesses, and that's across all eight coastal counties affected by that 2010 oil spill. A Louisiana company pleading guilty to illegally dumping oily waste into the Gulf. V-Ships Norway, they were fined $2 million by the Department of Justice. That violation involved discharging waste from a motor tanker in February through August of 2022. Crew members reportedly attempted to hide those actions by maintaining false records. Acting Assistant Attorney General Adam Gustafson condemned it, saying it poses serious health and environmental risks. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Seeing some minor delays right now on Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach Sienemid Road. Traffic is backed up all the way to Kingery Road. So we've had an earlier accident there. The right lane is still blocked, and the left lane is moving very slowly. Other than that, I-110, I-10, they are all looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Right now we've got cloudy skies. Could see some rain today and a high of around 79 degrees for this afternoon, 73 for the overnight low tonight. Heading into the weekend, some more rain chances for Saturday. About a 50% chance of thunderstorms on Saturday, then a 40% rain chance on Sunday. Clouds throughout the weekend. Early next week, we might start seeing some sun again, highs in the mid-80s, and a little bit lower rain chances as we move further into the week. 7:35 here, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our markets overnight with Your Money Now.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Investors will now turn their attention to fresh inflation data to cap off the final trading day of August with a personal consumption expenditures index. Economists polled by Dow Jones expect the PCE reading for July to show an increase of 0.2% for the month and 2.6% for the year. Data drops in 10 minutes. The Taiwanese government said China spent $21 billion on military exercises in the Taiwan Strait, the East and South China Seas, and the Western Pacific last year. This is nearly 40% higher than in 2023. This is based on its tracking of aircraft and ships, working out the cost of fuel and other expenses. Affirm shares rose 15% after the provider of buy now, pay later loans reported better than expected earnings and revenue for the fiscal fourth quarter. Affirm reported earnings per share of 20 cents for the quarter, almost double what analysts expected. Futures are slightly lower. Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 71, the NASDAQ up 115, the S&P 500 up 20. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When it comes to safety, Subarus are all-star performers. In fact, the 2025 Subaru Ascent, Crosstrek, Forester, and Outback earned top marks with a 5-star overall vehicle score from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And the Subaru Ascent has been an IIHS top safety pick for 8 years running. The Forester has been an IIHS top safety pick for 19 years running. And the Outback has been an IIHS top safety pick for 16 years running. All of which explains why the American Customer Satisfaction Index ranks Subaru number one in safety. Subaru, more of what you value most. Get special low rates on select new vehicles during the Subaru A Lot to Love event going on now through September 2nd at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's The Lads, led by Dickie Williams, a British Invasion tribute band featuring only British bands from 1963 to 1969. Come dance and sing to the sounds of the Beatles with The Lads at Bands on the Beach. Remember, no pets or glass.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I just want to make sure the board understands what is happening here. Right. So the state legislature, and this is important for you all to understand. So the state legislature during this past session changed the law and literally took away from the Board of County Commissioners the authority to approve final plats. The planning director is the one signing off on plats now.
Am I hearing that Horace gets final authority on this?
Yes.
For the approval of the elected plat. Officials get bypassed?
Not just bypassed. I mean, it's before you even see it.
Oh, that's great. I'll thank the state legislator for that.
Well, we have a state legislator on with us right now. That was, of course, Allison Rogers, the county attorney for Escambia County, and Mike Kohler talking about this apparently revelation to all of them. She knew because she was at the lawyers conference for FAC. I don't know why the commissioners were in the dark about this, but they were. And so they found out during this conversation, and he was pretty amazed by it, as was I. And people were asking me, well, you know, who passed it? I'm like, well, it passed unanimously in the Senate and the House. So let's talk to our person. Alex Andrade is our state representative for District 2. And to talk here about Senate Bill SB 784. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. And I couldn't even tell you who sang that rap song that you led me in with. It's probably...
That was John's choice.
Was that a rap song?
It was not a rap song. I don't think. Well, I don't know. Who knows anymore? These categories are so weird. It's old school, look before you. Anyway, so, okay, so I know this was not your bill. I think it was Blaze and Goldie's bill, SB 784.
Yep.
I had not seen this bill. I was stunned to discover it. It seems insane to me that the final approval on a plat would be in the power, the hands of, not because it's Horace Jones, but because anybody, one person who's not accountable to the people, it seems like it makes sense to be in the county commission's hands. So you voted for the bill. It wasn't your bill, but you voted for it. So help me understand this bill.
Yeah. And like you said, everybody voted for it.
Yeah.
So the process of creating a plat, the purpose of a plat is simply to subdivide a very large parcel. That parcel is already subject to land use and zoning from local governments. If a parcel lays like between a city and a county, like part on the city, part in the county, the developer, whoever owns that land, has to actually create two plats and get approval from the city for the portions that are in the city and approval from the county for the portions that are in the county on two separate plats. It has to meet certain legal requirements. But it's not necessarily a request for any zoning variance. It's not requested any changes in law. It's simply subdividing property that's already subject to current zoning regulations and land use regulations that are on the books in every municipality in the state, whether county or city. So the thought process here is, why force a property owner to have to go before, you know, wait a month or maybe 2 months to go before a city or county board, elected board, and then have a bunch of non-legal potentially considerations come into play about what a property owner can and cannot do with the land that they privately own. You know, this process simply puts a time frame on it to where a private property owner has to either be approved or rejected with their requested plat within a certain amount of time. I think it's about 2 weeks. And then they can actually do with their private property what they were already legally allowed to do prior. So I didn't see it as like the end of the world. And I mean, a county, like the Escambia County Commission, if the commissioners are concerned about it, they can put a requirement on their employees that, you know, they direct through their county administrator to notify them anytime a plat request is submitted. And each county commissioner can weigh in on that plat request through Wes or through the, you know, the planning director, and provide their own input. And shoot, if the county commission believes that their planning director is not listening to them and their input during that time frame, they can obviously have a discussion with their county administrator about whether or not that planning director is executing on direction from the county commissioners still. So I think it's just fundamentally a different perspective on private property rights and land use, but it shouldn't change much in reality, unless we're saying that people's rights and their private property should be subject to majority rule, and not even majority rule. It's like who shows up with the same color t-shirts at one county commission or city council meeting can suddenly veto the rights that I have or change or modify the rights that I have subjectively in my private property. That just seems like a concept that, you know, that type of scenario feels un-American to me.
A lot, obviously. I wanted to let you have your say on this because, you know, lots of good things in there. We'll come back and talk about it in just a second. We're talking to Alex Andrade. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Just one accident to let you know about on Muskogee Road and Highway 29. Not seeing any delays. It's off to the side of the road. And still dealing with Avalon Boulevard going southbound right around Sienemid Road, and also Avalon Boulevard as you approach I-10 going south, seeing some delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Alex Andrade talking about this SB 784 that takes the final plat approval for subdivisions out of the hands of the county commissioners and puts it specifically in the hands of either the development director or somebody who the county commissioners appoint to oversee this stuff, puts it at the administrative level rather than being at the elected official level. And Alex, you gave a lot of good arguments in favor. Number one is, you know, the public input often devolves to the three loudest people who show up. And why do you want those sort of busybody neighbors deciding these things? Why should the county commissioners, if you followed all the rules and done everything accordingly, the non-professional county, commissioners, why should they have the ability to thwart you and what the law requires you to do if you've done what the law requires you to do? Speeding up the process for development, not having to wait for full meetings. I hear all those concerns. I do. My concern about this is the reason you put this final approval in the hands of the elected officials is because they are the ones who are ultimately accountable to the people. And that lets the people have a say. That's the final check and balance against developers who these days people feel have ultimate sway and do whatever they want. And, you know, damn the consequences, and we'll deal with any problems later on if we have to. It feels like this is bypassing the people who have an appropriate interest in making sure that a brand new subdivision with 500 car trips per day is not going to destroy the quality of life of a downstream, you know, neighborhood that they're running through, or floodwater concerns or anything else. And granted, they may not be the experts, but we've always done it this way. And this, you know, speeding up the process of development and bypassing the accountable elected officials doesn't seem like a way of improving the system. It seems like a way of giving the problem more ability to be the problem.
Well, keep in mind, the plat itself is not the development agreement or the development order. Development agreements are essentially contracts where you can incorporate anything you want as a county. into this agreement to try and hold the developer accountable for certain things. Counties and cities can levy impact fees on those types of impacts. They can require certain investments. None of this change stops any of that. What I would say on the administrative side of this in this circumstance is if a county commissioner or city council person is concerned that these plats might get approved without their input at all, create a policy that says the planning director has to notify the council or the county commission within 24 hours of receiving a plat approval request from a developer so that that city council person or that county commissioner, you know, has enough time to weigh in with the planning director.
But Alex, you know as well as I do that if this is all done out of the public's view, right? There's no, you know, the public doesn't have a chance to weigh in. What are the county commissioners going to do? Call the neighbors? I mean, part of the reason of doing it at the meeting is people are aware and therefore they can show up and have their say. Maybe they shouldn't. Maybe they're not. It's not their neighborhood. Maybe they're not experts. But what we do right now is the people have a say. And this is eliminating them having a say, in my opinion. And even if, as you say, the county commissioners ask for their input, that's one person's input who might not know nearly enough about the situation to really have an informed perspective on the particulars of that situation. That's what it seems like to me.
I guess I can kind of see that, but what other land use decisions on private land should the public have a say in? Like when I go and apply for a permit, say I want to go build a fence or something on my property and it might require a permit or something, should I have to, you know, be held to public discourse about what I can and can't do within the bounds of the law and the set zoning regulations of the county or city?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Before I get that permit, you know, like what is the line here on, you know, when, you know, government by majority, same color T-shirt fiat gets to weigh in and veto development? And again, private property rights are private property rights. That's why we have things like Burt Harris Act claims where, you know, if a local government prevents me from doing something that I'm legally permitted to do. Again, you can't bring a Burt Harris Act if someone denies a zoning variance request. A zoning variance request is saying I need to be accepted from the law
right, to change
that
it.
Is established right now. You know, that's different than saying within the bounds of the law, within the bounds of the rules that apply to everybody right now, we're going to add additional or arbitrary or, you know, other requirements that are not established in statute or zoning ordinance or anything else. I mean, and that's the line that we're trying to – that's the bounce we're trying to strike. I mean, most local government officials, even the staunchest conservatives, they might disagree with me on things like vacation rental use. But there's a limit on what we can and cannot do as far as regulating vacation rentals, private property – like a residence, I don't think any government entity should be able to tell me how many days in a month or for the extent or length of time I should be allowed to rent out my private property so long as it's being used residentially, right? My house is zoned residential. If I want to make it a VRBO or Airbnb, local government shouldn't say I can only rent it for 5 days or 7 days. I can't rent it for anything less. As long as it's being used residentially, it's the enforcement of those good neighbor laws. That's the
But if you collectively abandon the power to regulate these things, you wind up having an aggregate detrimental effect on neighborhoods, as we're seeing with the vacation rentals, for instance. By the way, Alex, I appreciate the point about the circus at the county commission. Certainly is going to save me time not having to listen to these cases. It just, again, it's sort of like saying, we don't need juries. The juror is uninformed. The juror is, you know, why should they get a say? Let a judge. They're the professional. They're the expert. They can handle it. Well, the jury is the last line of defense. And yes, I get the argument about private property. And by the way, you've pulled me. I thought this was absolutely insane. I now think it's just misguided. I'm not quite over the line to being willing to vote for it. But I'm hearing the argument, and that's why I wanted to have you on, because I knew you would provide a perspective that I wasn't considering, and so I appreciate that. But it definitely seems like right now there's some maybe weak, maybe not the best method for avoiding errors that are done by developers, and I don't think developers are bad guys either. They're trying to help people have houses, which is good. But it seems like it's just ripping that away and giving it, again, the power to, and I hate to keep calling it, but the power to Horace. You know, the opportunity for corruption, the opportunity for mistakes, the shortened timeline, all of these things don't seem to be improving the process to me.
Well, again, when you said we're abrogating regulation, we're not. I mean, these plats, they have to designate, they have to acknowledge what this land is already zoned for, right? So if you want to go create a plat on ag land, you still have to apply for a variance for residential, and the zoning regulations for residential property would apply. It's the difference between taking case-by-case subjective analyses of property versus saying this is what we want residences based on a form-based code or a use regulation type code or something. You apply the laws that are on the books. The plat approval process in and of itself is a ministerial function. It's not the same as something like a zoning variance or the policymaking and legislating decision of creating zoning requirements or land use requirements.
I hear you.
Or
that's
setting
good.
A policy about your impact fees. Like that's the distinction where, you know, the plat approval itself, you know, if the county can still put in whatever requirements they want, if
and as you said, hire better staff if you don't think your staff is doing a good job. Yeah, I get all that. That's true.
The county's not obligated to accept the plat until all requirements of that plat are met. If you're concerned about how anything affects your neighbors on zoning, like that is the time on the zoning, on the policymaking, legislating side of saying, hey, we need to create these buffer requirements, these land use requirements, you know, these impact fee or impact policy requirements. It's just rules need to apply across the board equally. From my perspective, it's a constitutional like equal protection due process issue where it's like, okay, well, what's the due process? What's the equal protection? How are we treating everybody the same under the color of law? And how are we making sure that everybody understands the rules that they have to follow?
And that it's not subject to personalities. I get that part too. I mean, you know, we all hate to see the personalities favoring some, not favoring others based on the individual biases or prejudices of county commissioners. So, I hear that argument too. Man, we're totally out of time. I had hoped to talk with you about the $200 million bill for Alligator Alcatraz that we don't know who's going to pay for it. Is that true? We don't know who's going to pay for this? And it's going to be enclosed? Fire sale on tents and toilets, I guess.
Well, I mean, I had this concern since Alligator Alcatraz was under emergency authority. There was no legislative approval for the spend of hundreds of millions of dollars. That what if FEMA said, well, we don't feel like we're paying the state. Are we just out this money? Did the governor just take it upon himself to appropriate himself hundreds of millions of dollars for this, you know, camp? I mean, I am all about making sure that we have places to house illegal immigrants before they're deported. I'm just a little concerned that this was, I think, kind of rushed for optics purposes and political purposes.
There was no optics involved here. Jay Collins was clearly deputized to escort that prisoner at the use of personal force. Come on, obviously. All right.
I've never seen a non-law enforcement person put their hands all over a defendant in custody before. It was I've never seen a politician be allowed to batter somebody in law enforcement custody before. It was such a bizarre circumstance.
On that note... Hey, Alex, listen, I know it wasn't your bill, but part of the reason I love talking with you and having such a good relationship with you is I know you can explain things and as a lawyer, articulate the other side. And I wanted to be sure that the other side on this SB 784 had a good hearing. And I think we did this morning. So thank you so much for spending some time with me today. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. John Pickens has traffic for you.
That's right. No accidents to report right now. But if you're on Davis Highway going south to Olive Road, you're going to see some minor delays past Johnson Avenue. Also, Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10, seeing some congestion delays there. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Okay, so it's going to be about $1,200.
Wait, did you even figure out what was wrong?
Well, my guy said something about the flux capacitor. Oh, and we had some extra parts.
Extra parts? That's a no for me.
Don't settle for vague answers and mystery charges. Head to Garage 850 on Sun Valley Drive just off Michigan Avenue. Rusty and his ASE-certified crew actually explain what's going on and get it done right. Specials online now at garage850.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Seminole fans, your chance to win tickets to Florida State University home games is coming soon. Right here on News Radio 92.3.
No, no, Mr. Stay. Mr. Koja Jam Binks. Mr. Your humble servant.
And you can't just stay home, so it doesn't matter which way you go.
I just kind of want to listen.
I know.
It's such a great song. I love Fountains of Wayne. They have so many very, very good songs. All right, we got a storm coming. It's just about here. If you're in northwest Escambia County, you're seeing it already. Maybe the western part of the county is starting to see it. But and it's thunderstorms behind, so over the next hour or two, we're going to see some relatively significant storming. Let's see. We did traffic, right, John? Okay, David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline for us. David?
Well, yeah, real quick here. The CDC's issued a food safety alert for eggs infected with salmonella. The Federal Health Agency says 95 people from 14 states have gotten sick from the same strain of salmonella. 18 people have been hospitalized. Most of the cases are in California. I believe Florida is one of the 14 states, but they make it almost impossible to get any real information from these news articles.
Dang it.